Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
Around the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Panda for Geeks in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. My name is Thomas Strange, and with me, as always, are some of my very favorite people since I was a little kid, a little tiny kid. Everyone having a good time tonight, dancing around. Josh, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm going super light today, and I am rocking a Sam Adams Summer, but I have a big old heavy Mighty Squirrel Cosmic Distortion as a backup in case we really need to get silly.
Oh, we can get silly later. Mikey, what are you drinking over there, buddy?
I have another Larfleeze, vodka and orange vanilla seltzer water.
I'm so glad we invented that one. It's a terrific little drink.
And it's one of the few things I have left in the house. So it's good.
All right.
It's good. It's good. It's good. It's like there's a party in my mouth. Oh, I would That would have been an awesome it's segue.
It's like there's a party in your mouth and everyone's invited?
That's right. Speaking of invited, LT, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Compass Box Spice Tree tonight.
Wait, can you repeat that? What was that?
Compass Box Spice Tree.
Compass Box Spice Tree.
Yeah.
That sounds like random words for like so. That sounds like you just got into like some 20s nightclub. Those words don't even go together.
It is my favorite scotch. It is so delicious.
Compass Box Spice Compass Tree. Can you get to get in? Yeah.
Spice Tree. My Compass Box. It's delicious. Okay. Unfortunately, they're not making it anymore.
It also kind of sounds like a celebrity endorsed cologne.
Oh yeah, I can see that too.
Compass Box Spice Tree. If you want to smell like Keith Richards, Compass Box Spice Tree.
Formaldehyde? That's what I imagine Keith Richards smells like.
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing.
We're about to get in a Twitter feud with Keith Richards, aren't we?
No, we're not, because Keith Richards just sprained his foot climbing a goddamn coconut tree at 72.
To get his own coconut.
To get his own goddamn coconut.
Yeah, he's not on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's got better shit to do with his dog.
You know why? Because he wanted to put the lime in the coconut.
He's living a life, is what I'm saying. This motherfucker can drink any milk he wants. If he wants beaver milk, some motherfucker's going out and getting fucking milking a beaver for him. Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with tits.
Milk anything.
Oh, yeah.
So, but no, he chooses to go collect his own goddamn coconuts. Keith Richards is living the life. Fuck us. You know who else is living the life? Danny the Street. That's right. This week's topic of choice, Danny the Street. Oh, LT, just a little too slow putting his finger
Son
on
of a bitch. God damn it.
He didn't even close.
Did not want to put down his drink. Like, he saw what was going on, but was like,
he just got spice tree.
I'm so thirsty.
Danny the Street, one of the cooler little DC characters to come out in a while. A character I had almost no knowledge of. I think I had him in my periphery once or twice. But now that I know him, I freaking love this character. LT, why don't you give us a little background on Danny the Street?
Well, Danny the Street, he's an actual street. He's sentient. And he is in the Doom Patrol. And let's see. First appearance, Doom Patrol, number 35, August 1990, created by Grant Morrison and Richard Case. In the Doom Patrol, he was a transvestite street, welcoming to all kinds of strange people, especially of the LGBTQ and all of its associated letters, which Tom knows all the letters. What? Why are you giving me that look, Tom?
I wonder what a transvestite street is. Was he really a country road?
To the place.
Yeah. To the place. I belong. West Virginia. Mama.
Take me home. Danny Road.
To the place. I belong. West Virginia. Have you ever heard this in Irish? It's so from did you guys watch the last what was that goddamn movie? Golden something?
No.
Circle? Well, it was great. Fuck you guys.
It was great.
It was great. Kingsman. There's an Irish character who loves that song, and he sings it as he's blown up from stepping on a mine. Oh, it's so moving.
Anyway, Danny has the ability to teleport by integrating into a city's geography without causing any damage or disturbance. He typically does this at night while nobody's looking.
I love the fact that the streets, the city just kind of lets him in. Like, it establishes that something that the Question had done earlier, that the cities in the DC universe are actually sentient also. And they're like, oh, it's Danny. Yeah, make a little
room. Hey, Danny!
Make a little room, shift a little space. You know, give him a little dead-end action on the edge of town.
Danny's back.
You're going to be in trouble.
And, you know, he is typically going from city to city looking for people that need shelter. And that's the basics of Danny of the Street.
Let me just add that Danny of the Street waxes and wanes in power, kind of depending on how many Dannyzins that he has. He has been as big as a world, Danny the World, and he's been as small as a brick, Danny the Brick. So he's not exactly powered by the people he's helping, but there is a direct connection between those two things.
So he's just accommodating enough to care for everyone he needs to? Is that the spiel?
It might be something like that, or it might be a little bit more complex. He is, in fact, they prefer the they-them pronoun. They are a pocket dimension. So a pocket dimension is infinitely big or infinitely small. So whether or not he has denizens might be just a quirk of their own personality. So it's kind of hard to tell. It's like the way the Molecule Man had his own limitations on his power, based more upon his own mental stability other than the real magnitude of his power. And I'm going to cosplay the hell out of this character because I love this character. We're talking about a dimension-hopping street that is in search of people that need their help and protection. I love that. Plus, there are very few gender non-binary characters out there for gender non-binaries to really look up to. And this is a great gender non-binary character to look up to.
And Tom, you said, how can a street beat a transvestite? And one of the ways was that there were typically masculine shops, like gun shops, and he would dress them up in feminine ways.
That's true. That was part of the thing. There were one of the first scenes is a men's warehouse type storefront with dresses and male mannequins dressed in women's clothing in the windows. So Danny the Street is just very open to everyone being themselves, however that happens. I like to think in my own weird canon that the guy that Wonder Woman ties up in issue number, I think it was 79, I have this issue somewhere, who's starting a riot against Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman finally ties him up in the lasso of truth and says, "Why do you hate me so much?" And the guy's tied up, and he's like, "'Cause I want to be you." And she unties him and says, "Go, my friend, and live your truth." And the guy's crying, and he goes off, and he goes into a woman's dress shop. I hope Danny finds that guy.
I'm sure he's there.
I hope he's there. It makes me happy to think that guy's there.
In the Doom Patrol TV show, Danny is considered genderqueer. Could you explain what genderqueer is, Tom? Because I had to look it up. I wasn't exactly sure.
Genderqueer is one of those terms that most people agree mean to not conform to gender normatives. But the queer community themselves, they'll argue about it amongst, you know, everyone. I mean, you don't have to everyone doesn't have to agree on that particular term. People don't even agree on the term queer altogether, you know, what it means to be queer. But genderqueer usually means not conforming to gender normatives. Is that what you got in your dictionary?
Yes.
Yeah. So my good friend Owen, who prefers the they-them pronouns, might be thought of as genderqueer. They often project as masculine. Owen's, you know, was born male, but dresses feminine, but doesn't take on any other feminine aspects. They are a deep-voiced person, and they don't hide that. They don't hide the masculine part of their personality. They don't, and they embrace the feminine part of their personality. Owen is one of the few people who really have that genderqueer, not, and he's also a non-binary sexuality. He embraces it really well, and it's easier for me to understand than some of my other non-gender binary friends who project all in one way. And sometimes that's confusing to me as someone who doesn't understand the concept as well. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's worse or better. I'm just saying it's sometimes if someone's non-gender binary, but they dress female and they project as female and everything about them seems female, it's kind of hard to remember the they, them for me on those folks.
I am terrible with pronouns.
As am I.
I really want to work at it because I want everyone to be comfortable. I know plenty of people who just getting the pronouns right just goddamn fucking makes their day. And it's so easy not to be a dick and remember a pronoun that I feel like it's worth the effort.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm cognizant, right? I'm just bad at it. I'm just bad at it like I'm bad with people's names.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something – I mean, if I met – you know, I was in the class all this week, and there were only 12 people there. And probably on the last day, I got everyone's name on 6 days. It took me 6 days to learn 12 people's names in any reliable fashion. And actually, if you put them all in a line in front of me right now, I'm pretty sure I'm getting somebody's name wrong.
I hope it's Eileen, which is LT's wife, who was in that class with you.
She was. I would not get her name wrong. But we did plenty of wrestling moves where she had to foregrip my head and draw me into her bosom. So welcome to that, Tom. Just picture that in your head because that happened all week.
So back to Danny.
Right. Back to Danny the Street.
Back to Danny the Street.
Danny has also been a member of the Teen Titans in the New 52, which I love Danny, but man, was he done a disservice being part of that shitty team.
Who else was on that particular team?
Red Robin, the guy who makes – was it Brick or Wall? The guy who can make psionic bricks.
Yeah, it was terrible. It's a terrible power. He's a terrible character.
Yeah. Psionic bricks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what his name was. It was that group. It wasn't very well done. What they were trying to do is steal Grant Morrison's idea for the Men from Nowhere and update it into kind of a superhero format, but it doesn't really work because Grant Morrison's creation of Danny the Street, like all of the Doom Patrol characters that he created, don't really fit in very well with the rest of the DC universe. They're just a little too weird, if that's a – I don't even know if weird's the way to describe it, but they're just a little too outside the normative box. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great way to do something by design where Doom Patrol, they're like – their power sets are so inordinately – non-functional but useful in like these very, very like limited situations that 80% of the, or 88 or 85% of the time you see the Doom Patrol, none of their powers matter.
Right.
And that's one of the best things about the comic, right? So it's really like, it's like if all of us just had these super random powers that never came up but had superpowers, but we were all going out there in the Mystery Machine and trying to get shit done anyway. And I think that's the compelling thing about Doom Patrol and Danny in general, right? So those characters where, I mean, Danny has a very distinct purpose, which is noble.
Yes.
But when it comes down to it, he's a dead end street on a random city. It's not, yeah, it's not like Danny's saving the universe here.
Right.
He's just saving the people he can save.
And it's not like he's going to punch Lex Luthor in the face or anything like that.
No. Lex could still park his Rolls Royce right on Danny, and Danny be like,
all
well.
Danny would have to, all Danny could do is wait, flail his.
Flail. Shutter windows and tell people to ignore that motherfucker.
Yeah.
But like, it's just so it's.
He's, Danny could sprout a flower on the fire hydrant that Lex is parked right next to.
Yeah, it's a brilliant motivation in a way that just humanizes every character that gets in there, because their powers are so disadvantaged in almost every situation, except for, you know, the one in a thousand time where. It's what you need to save the entire universe. Mm. That's, I think, what makes him great. Makes them great. See? I corrected myself.
You got a good man.
Yeah. Fuck you, man. I'm self-correcting.
One of the big things about Danny of the Street is when you think of, when you see someone in trouble and you see someone who needs help, someone once said to me, you know, Tom, you can't help everybody. And my immediately reaction to that almost every time is, you're right, I can't help everybody. But I can help this fucking guy get a sandwich. So that's what I do. So Danny of the Street really internalizes that perfectly for me. Danny won't turn people away. They, you know, bring in those in need. It's just such a great idea for a character. And the power is, I mean, it's a really, really powerful power. Instant teleportation of an entire street with all the denizens, that makes him one of the better teleporters in the DC universe. A lot of DC teleporters don't have the ability to move that much mass. Danny can, and Danny's gone across the universe with it too. So, and Danny's been an entire planet.
Yeah, and at the Teen Titans, he was very effective in so that whenever they needed to go anywhere, they would just open a door and there Danny would be, and then they'd just have to walk through another door. And Danny would have them wherever they needed to be, right? So it was super convenient, but they didn't really give Danny any personality other than, you know, hey, he's a street. And Robin was really the only person who even understood what Danny was. So I think the Teen Titans series is a disservice. I'm not a big fan of the Gerard Way Doom Patrol. I prefer the classic Grant Morrison. But if you want to read anything about Danny the Street, if you've got DC Universe, almost all of his appearances are on DC Universe right now.
And I think they've done pretty well with Danny on the show.
Yeah. By the way, Mike, that would have been really great information for me last fucking week.
Oh, because you bought all those comics?
Because I just spent the whole week binge eBaying all the comics. I didn't even look at DC Universe. I didn't think of it. I like having the I probably would have bought them anyways. I like having the comics in hand.
Step one, DC Comics. Is it on DC Universe or is it on Comixology?
Yeah. I should do that.
Free. Yeah.
I'm in.
A little bit. We love you.
All right.
Yeah. I love the way he was portrayed in the Doom Patrol TV series.
Terrific. It really was well done in the series. Much better than I thought they would be able to handle a character that's this outside the box. But the Doom Patrol TV series so far has been really doing a good job of handling characters that are outside the box.
Yes, yeah. We're going to have to do an entire podcast when everybody finishes watching the Doom Patrol series, because it is awesome.
What was that there, Josh?
Nothing. Was it just you? Who else hasn't finished yet?
I haven't finished yet. I'm getting a lot closer.
I finished it.
You're getting a lot closer.
Oh, so we've all finished it except for Tom. That's what we're really saying.
Well, LT, you're... All right, I'll finish it this week. We'll do it next week.
All right, next week.
Next week.
I got like 4 episodes to go. I'm good.
Doom Patrol next week. You heard it here first.
I might even watch it all again by that time.
I've only watched. Have you rewatched any episodes? I'm not even done. I've already rewatched Puppet Patrol once because that's just hilarious. And I watched the Day of the Street one twice back to back because I thought I might have missed something because it was that good.
Yeah.
I've rewatched. I mean, sometimes when I'm just like, you know, my wife's going to sleep, and I'm like, I need to watch something. I go and watch Doom Patrol, and then I'm like all snuggled up in a blanket on the couch with my two dogs, and I get, you know, 27 and a half minutes into a Doom Patrol episode, and I just fall asleep. But so I've probably like rewatched like 5 or 6 episodes just because I'm like, did I see that whole episode? And they do a good job of confusing me even when I do see a whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not I have seen the whole episode.
Yeah, because you can't just start watching it at the beginning because they have 3 episodes in a row that have the very same beginning. And it's just the different characters, what happened after a certain point.
Yeah, they really throw the caltrops of confusion right into my brain. I'm like, wait, did I see this? Have I already seen this? Did I see the end of this? I'm not really sure that. And then I'm like, I turn around and I'm like, wait, I definitely didn't finish that episode. And I'm like 3 episodes down the line. I'm like, I totally missed something and I have to go back. So
that's just fucking with you, Josh.
I agree in the best way possible. Yeah, absolutely. You mean your co-star, Mike? Is that who we're talking about?
Oh, yes. I forgot. Alan Tudyk, my co-star from Con Man.
Okay.
Also the voice of K2SO.
Also, yeah.
What a great droid that guy was, boy.
Yeah.
Unrelated to the podcast, yeah. Sorry.
Can't avoid the droid.
Does anyone have any last words on Day of the Street? Great character, by the way, to be kicking off Pride Month with, too.
Absolutely. My final thoughts. I haven't had enough time to see what they did with Danny in print. But in the televised series, in the DC Universe series, and all of our listeners, if you guys don't have DC Universe, I'm not sure it's worth it to have for a year. But it's definitely worth to have it for 3 months and watch Titans, watch Doom Patrol, and catch up on the background. And I watched the first episode of Swamp Thing.
A bunch of the shorts are really funny too.
Mike, did you watch Swamp Thing first episode?
I have not had a chance to watch it yet.
Okay, I am conflicted on Swamp Thing right out of the gate, but.
One episode. We'll already canceled it.
It's one episode. What?
Yeah. It's already been canceled, too.
It's been canceled? Really?
It's on a streaming service.
I thought you
service.
Told us that.
On a streaming service. How does it get canceled?
I thought I read somewhere just today that, like, they've already dropped Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing just...
I mean, I think they literally only released the first episode, so...
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty drunk. I'm drinking Captain Morgan's over here.
I mean, Swamp Thing was okay. The first episode was okay.
All right. Mikey, any last words on Doom Patrol?
You mean Danny the Street? No,
I'm not. Danny the Street.
We will save it all for next week.
All right. LT, any last words on our good friend Danny the Street? They rule.
Yeah, they rule.
All right.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box for me, buddy?
At the front of the long box, I have a news item regarding one of our favorite writers, Tom King. He has just been hired to write The New Gods movie. That's right, Tom King, who we rant and rave about for Mr. Miracle and Vision, and currently writing Batman. He's going to be ending his run on Batman a little early and is going to be penning New Gods. What do you guys think?
I think it's a mistake from DC.
Hmm.
I mean, Tom King's fucking brilliant. He can write whatever he wants, and I will watch it. From a marketing and a business perspective, there's just not enough of a chambered and inherent audience to launch New Gods. It seems like if you haven't introduced somebody into the DC universe already, you have made a pretty tragic mistake in order to get this film launched.
Well, they did have one person in there, and that, of course, is Steppenwolf.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was terrible, so I don't even want to bring that up. Yeah. But here's my point on this. Guardians of the Galaxy was out of fucking nowhere. Like, when they said they were doing a Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, what? Nobody knows who the Guardians of the Galaxy is. It's a great comic. I just don't see it in the big screen. I don't see how they can do it. And they knocked it out of the goddamn park. Now, can DC do that with New Gods? Maybe not, but they got that puncher's chance.
Yeah, the problem with that is that DC hasn't even knocked a main character out of the park, in my opinion.
Good point. Good point.
And Marvel knocked Iron Man out of the park before they brought Guardians to the ballpark.
It's tough.
I agree.
An inherent audience there.
Well, I will give you this though. Tom King is really good at writing a small, intimate story. And that might be the way to go, rather than spending $150 million on special effects. Wouldn't you be interested in seeing a Tom King Mr. Miracle movie?
No, I'd be interested in seeing a Tom King fucking Mr. Miracle Netflix series and then see a New Gods movie. You could make a brilliant series based on Mr. Miracle that has very loose ties to the DC universe and make it absolutely in continuity, in time, and introduce things that most of the DC audience don't even know. And god damn it, I would love to see that.
And you can,
fuck DC, why am I not your fucking showrunner? It drives me insane.
You could totally base it on the original Mr. Miracle that didn't really do a lot based in the DC universe, and it would be fantastic. And like, it would slowly bring in the New Gods,
Start the series off with Scott Free doing his whole escape artist thing, and then Scott Free then Mr. Miracle becoming his assistant, and then getting into the whole thing. You throw that curve in there that's got free for like two or three episodes, and then Mr. Miracle comes in.
I'm telling you, they could start – I believe that DC could start the Oosel, the base of a pyramid here, on Mr. Miracle and build a universe out of that into the movie realm. But just launching a New Gods movie is going to – I think it's going to be particularly difficult for them.
I just wanted to congratulate you on using Oosel in a sense.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, that's great new news.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Tom, do you got any old news for us or something in the back of the long box?
So in the back of the long box, I have an all-ages comic to recommend, Owly. It's the story of a very lonely owl. And he tries to make new friends, and it is a fantastic all-ages comic that anyone can not really read because it doesn't really have any words, but view. It's a charming little comic that tells a story in animated pictures.
I see Owly a lot at Comic-Cons, and I have not checked it out yet, so I'm glad to know that it's good.
It is. It's a good charming little story-by-story book. Once again, it's not going to be anything that's, going to be deep like your, Watchmen, but it's going to be something that, anybody could enjoy. And there are just charming little stories about this lonely little owl trying to make friends in the world.
In fact, Maria Luisa has a bunch of owly books, because when we went to Comic-Con, to Dragon-Con with Scott and Sarah purchased a bunch of the owly books.
And they're great.
Well, it's good to know those are good for all ages. I think I've seen a couple covers, but I don't think I've actually read that book itself. But that's a bit tangential to what we're talking about. Speaking of tangents, Josh, what do you got for this week?
So this week, one of the things I wanted to talk about was Cyberpunk 2020. So a lot of us are all tabletop RPGers, and back when we were youngins, there was a tabletop RPG called Cyberpunk 2020. Clearly, since next year is 2020, I don't have a flying car, I can't jack into the net, I certainly won't have a cybernetic eye coming up anytime soon. So they decided to rename it 2070 just to be safe. So my question for the crowd assembled is, what other thing from a chronological perspective was so skewed off in our perceptions as young people that are just missing from what we are today? What's missing?
First off, I jack off to the net all the time. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's a different thing. It's the mental, the brain integrated directly into virtual reality. The jacking into the net is a little different than what you might normally encounter, Tom.
Oh, I was talking about masturbating.
From a friction perspective.
Yeah.
Likes ambiguity.
Yeah. Did anyone watch the old Michael Landau TV show Space 1999?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Space 1999. I thought... What was that?
Martin Landau.
What did I say?
Michael Landau.
Yeah, he's like Little House on the Prairie. Is that Michael Landau? You went Little House on the Prairie.
That's Michael Landon. He's close.
Fine, Martin Landau.
Although an angel roaming around a chunk of the moon and solving people's problems is this TV show that Josh should fucking show run.
Fucking A.
Absolutely.
Awesome. DC, why aren't you hiring me?
And let's not forget that the moon is just a piece of Mars for some new reason.
Yeah, and also a harsh mistress.
Yeah, the two things right there.
Two things.
And M is for moon. Ha-ha! So I got that in there?
Yeah,
that's mine for you. So, Space 1999. I thought by now we'd have a colony on the moon, and we'd have super hot chicks that can turn into animals.
Yeah,
I really thought Twilight 2000 was going to be very accurate, and I was prepared for the World War III against the Russians and being caught behind enemy lines. Did you guys ever play that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was a great game.
I played it in the army. I played the shit out of it in the army.
that was a pretty dark game. It was pretty much just worldwide Stalingrad running around with sniper rifles.
Yeah, thanks, Hasbro.
Yeah.
God damn it! Why don't we have laser guns by now?
Oh, the Navy just published that they're going to have a couple coming out of the new ships.
No, I mean pistol laser guns. Bust Buck Rogers style, damn it.
To do laser surgery, come on, man. Cut him some slack.
Cut him some gun slack. I just wanted a flying car by now.
I know everybody wanted a flying car by now, but we don't have jetpacks. We don't have flying cars. We got nothing.
We did this rant last week, right?
I know we did this rant last week. We get to keep doing this rant every week until we have a flying car.
Oh, I have a flying car, Mike.
I think we're going to get flying drones. I think we're going to have flying drones that pick up people before we'll have cars that we can control. Like automatic flying drones that will pick up Uber style, pick up people and deliver them.
So one of the jobs my wife is going to apply for next week is a driverless car driver. where she just gets in the car and it drives her around.
She just babysits it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Who controls the radio?
Kit. Yeah. I think that's obvious. Kit controls the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I am the radio,
so I assume you can just listen to audiobooks all day, right?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, well, sure.
Whatever the car wants to listen to.
You know,
is the car going to complain?
Car's going to just be listening to car talk all day.
Go slower, Randy.
Ray. One of those guys is dead. That's going to be a horrible conversation.
Oh, too soon.
Oh, dude.
Way to bring down the podcast, you son of a bitch.
You bastard.
Are you guys ready for today's fun Alec fact?
Wait, yes. What? Okay.
Here it goes. If you go down to Cambridge, if you go to the corner where the newspaper stand is, and you look up on the third floor of the window that's above the Curious George bookstore, you can see a law office that says Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. It's been up there for about 15, 20 years there now. And it was put up there by some fans, and it's never come down. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe has their own office in the middle of Cambridge, kind of. They have a window, at least.
That's actually where they broadcast Car Talk from.
Was that where they broadcast from?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Sure. I thought they actually did in the studio, you know, with equipment and stuff.
Yeah.
Meh.
You think?
We don't. They're fat white guys. They just do it like we do it.
We'll never know.
Yeah. And I guess that brings us to plugs, guys. You guys ready to plug some stuff?
Yeah.
I got some stuff to plug. Would I plug some stuff if my good friend Frankie was inside that oven?
You just might, Tommy.
Let me start out by saying I plug our Patreon page. Our Patreon page is at thelongboxguys.com/maybe/ I can never remember. The Long Box Guys. For as little as $1.
You totally fucked that up.
Yeah, it's just words.
It's patreon.com/thelongboxguys.
What did I say?
Who knows?
You said the Long Box Guys slash the Long Box Guys. That was your directions on how to get to our Patreon account.
I mean, I can put that in the internet and make that work. I'm just saying.
Patreon, Long Box Guys, you'll find us. Find us.
Josh is a wizard.
For as little as $1 a month, you get an extra podcast every week. And you get the joy, the love, the warmth of knowing that you have helped us put together our little podcast. You'll be part of the family. We are family. I got all my brothers with me. Mike, anything to...
I would like to thank Sister Sledge for inspiring Tom this week. And I would also like to thank Kirby Crackle, who provides our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. Also, a shout out to our fellow podcasters, the NOLA Nerd Couple, who we love, and the guys over at Who's Next Gaming. If you get a chance, go check out whosnextgaming.com. The Avengers Endgame sandwich that they made looked fucking delicious. So you can check that out on YouTube. Just search for Gamer Needs Food.
Absolutely.
Gamer Needs Sandwich. I hope there's shawarma in it.
I don't want to spoil anything.
All right, don't spoil anything. Let's also thank our good friends Ian Lino, the Linos, over at GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com?
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. Wow, we're so out of order.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah. That was a shit show, but whatever.
They deserve better than that. Let's do it one more time.
Let's do it one more time because they are some of our very best friends. Are you ready? Why don't you start us off there, Mikey?
We'd like to thank folks over at geekorthodox.com.
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 Hello, Tammy.
And so much better. What do they make, Mikey?
They make everything. If you haven't seen the freaking phenomenal, gigantic Enterprise stained glass window that they made, holy crap. Go over to their Facebook page, Geek Orthodox. com. I'm sure there will be photos up over there. Check it out. It is phenomenal. We still don't know who they made it for, do we?
It's someone in Chicago, and that's they actually have two more commissions from the same person. So that 4-foot by 4-foot Enterprise piece is going to be flanked by a 2-foot by 4-foot Saint Captain Kirk and a 2-foot by 4-foot Saint Spock window. So they are working on all of those to finish it off.
That will be awesome.
Yeah.
I hope it's a geek bar somewhere just so we can go there and drink.
Absolutely. It's got to be some Star Trek bar in somewhere in Northern Illinois, Chicago area. Can't wait to go. But yeah, if you go on their Facebook page or theianleonardo.com or geekorthodox.com and get in there, wow. Just beautiful work. Stained glass. Just like that is committed effort and artistry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe I'll get Ian to make my octopus tattoo. He ain't got time for that shit.
He does, because I have his tattoo on my leg as of last week.
Maybe I'll ask him. Tommy, besides rubbing your big, ugly-ass foot right in the camera, do you got anything, any last words for us?
So, since it's Pride Month, I would also like to recommend that everybody check out Love is Love, which was put out by IDW Publishing a while ago. And that was to honor the folks that died in the Orlando shooting a few years ago. A fantastic book, once again, to support all of the folks that were horribly killed in Orlando.
That's a great point. I would also like to plug questionable content. One of the few LGBTQQAAII comics out there that does a terrific job of handling the entire spectrum of sexuality in just a really intelligent, fun way that I just really bring some of these characters to life. Some of the best fully fleshed out characters I've ever seen. And it also happens to be gender queer, gender fluid, non-binary, inclusive.
I'd like to thank Friendly Neighborhood Comics in Bellingham, Massachusetts for being my comic shop. That place is clean. I'd like to thank the folks at Academy Duello for this past week for Titan Longsword and Rapier, specifically our instructor, Devin Borman, who's the lead instructor there, who is absolutely fucking amazing. And anytime you can go meet or train with Devin, I would suggest you do that. And taking those thoughts and everything we learned there into Epic Nerd Camp, the end of the month, the 27th of June to July 2nd, I'll be there teaching sword classes. And then after that, Con of Thrones in Nashville, I'll be teaching another longsword class on July 12th to the 14th. If you want to come out, meet me and learn some cool shit. Devin has taught me some extra tricky disarms, which I cannot wait to do on people. I really just want to fight people with fucking swords right now so I can disarm the shit out of them.
I remember when I learned my first really powerful, good expulsion. Could not wait to throw those things out there.
Well,
I love expulsion.
I expulsion on everyone.
Oh, I love expulsions.
It's like a disease.
And the expulsion to a hilt grab. Oh, I love that. I know it's illegal. I get it. Totally get it. Didn't mean I didn't do it. Up, Josh choking on it. What are you doing? Oh no, he's got. Oh no. He turned off his mic so you can't hear him choking to death, but he's still gagging. He's still coughing.
Not the good kind of gagging either.
Ah. It's never the good kind, Mike.
You guys have been doing it wrong if it's never the good kind.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's great.
Let's see.
There you go. There you go, Mike Saget, Pop Saget. Mike Saget. What the hell, Tom?
Mike Saget?
Mike Saget.
Yeah.
My dad.
Yeah, Mike Saget.
I was named after him.
Yeah.
And that will do us this week. Mike, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh, you're going to be off to Epic Nerd Camp real soon now. Is that your sector?
Epic Nerd Camp will be my sector.
Awesome. And Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy, still has his big-ass foot right in the camera.
Is that better, Tommy?
Thank you, Tommy. Any last words for us, buddy?
This may not be the podcast you desire, but it is definitely the podcast you deserve, Tom.
Da, da, da. Hey, thanks. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Support what you love. And love a lot of stuff out there, guys. There's a lot of stuff out there to love. Thanks from all the guys here at the podcast. Bye-bye.